Hello. Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are currently in our series, Relationships. If you would like to know more about North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can check us out on our website, nvcmd.org.
I got plenty of time. Good morning. My name is Dan Haslam. Welcome to North Valley Church. We all grow up in families. I had a family too growing up. I got gray hair, so I'm going to tell you about my family I grew up in. My mom and dad stayed married till my mom passed away, so that was a good thing. My dad had a job. It was stable. You get all that, Ben James? Yeah, okay. For those of you listening on the podcast, my mic wasn't on for the first minute or so, so I'm just catching yawns up. Okay, but my mom had this thing going on with dystonia. We didn't go on vacations, partly because of her physical limitations, but also that created a stress. My mom grew up in an environment where she doesn't think she was treated very well. And she never found a way to process that. Even when I was older, every time I visited my mom, she would relive her life growing up. She never got past it. She walked around with this burden and stress and hurt and never let it go. And so that drives me crazy. So when I interact with people who are just like that all the time, it's a bit of a challenge for me. I got to go, okay, back up, process, be careful, because I got to tell myself, it's not my mom. They've got their own stuff going on. My dad, typical guy, right? He had one emotion. Whenever anything happened, he was angry. Whether he was frustrated, whether he was sad, whether he was hurt, whether he was confused, what we saw was angry. And what do guys do when they see their dads being angry? Right? I went through several years at my house where my wife called me. Hey, she's not, okay, she's focused. Angry man. Right, Millie? Yep, okay. So I adopted the anger because that's what I saw. That's what I grew up. Man. Brooke, could you help me? I got this thing feeling like it's sticking me right here in my... Okay. Focus. We all have families that we grew up in, most of us anyway. We all have families that we grew up in, and they've influenced us in some way. Today, we're going to have a chance, while we're in our sermon series talking about relationships, we are going to be talking about family. So some of this discussion is going to bring up stuff from our past. We're going to talk, reference some of that, but really what I want to focus on today is our present. I imagine most of us live in households. Our kids' ministry is bursting at the seams, so I'm pretty sure most of y'all are parents. And so I just want to take a few minutes and talk about God's vision and intention for family. How should that look? What should that look like? So as we're walking through this passage today, I just want you to be able to know there's two things going to be interacting inside of you. There's the things of the past, and then there's going to be maybe some convictions or affirmations of the present. Today, I'm going to be, as I go forward, we're going to be talking about the present. But be ready to face those things of the past that you might need to. We are going to step into a passage in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. Whole bunch of stuff in here. I'm just going to read through it. I'm going to take a moment for you to catch up and read through it, underline it yourself. For those of you who have the program, you can take notes. But then we're going to pop over to another slide that's got some bullets that's just going to give us an opportunity to walk through some of the truths we're going to capture in this. All right, Colossians 3, 18 through 21. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. That few verses kind of outlines a household, right? Mom, dad, kids. How should we be relating with one another? So let's walk through some of that. Before we go, Millie, for those of you who are note-taking, that first line there, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. I'm cool with the word submit, but you're also going to hear me use the words respect. If you look at, I don't have the scripture here, but if you look at Ephesians 5:33, it says, wives, respect your husbands. If you grab a program and get the daily devotionals, that will be one of the verses for the coming week. So you might hear me say the word respect going forward. When you read Genesis chapter 2 and talking about Adam and Eve and Eve being created, she was created with the idea that man needed a helper. So for women, there's idea of helping as well. For husbands, love your wives. I'm going to talk a lot about that. But if you're writing a note, husbands, we're meant to lead our families. God's going to hold us extra accountable for what goes on in our households. And we need to take that. We need to take that seriously. All right, let's step through some of the things that we see in there. Wives, we're supposed to submit to their husbands. Maybe the corollary to that is husbands need to be allowed to lead. And husbands, we're supposed to love our wives. Like, maybe that's something that they need out of the relationship. We need different things. Boys and girls are different. I hope it's not a news flash to anybody here. This is relatively, it's going to end up on the podcast. But boys and girls are different. Most of y'all got kids. You get that. Boys and girls are my favorite, one of my favorite moments on, I don't like not much on watching TV, but Rick Warren, pastor of a big church out in California, was being interviewed by Larry King. And Larry King was asking him about his view on marriage and men and women. And Rick Warren wanted to make the point, men and women are different. He said on TV, if my wife and I took off all of our clothes and stood up, you would clearly know men and women are different, right? So there's just an obviousness to we're different. We're different how our physical nature is. We've got some differences in our intellectual nature, our emotional nature, right? Before God, we're all the same. So our spiritual natures are the same. But how we're wired in all those ways are different. We need to be mindful of that, because as men and women in a marriage relationship, we will fall into the rut of thinking everybody looks, thinks, and feels like I do, and we start treating people the way we want to be treated. There's actually a verse in the Bible that encourages that. But husbands, for your wives to experience being loved, you need to love them in a way they can receive. Right, husbands, we need to know our wives' love language. Do you know what that is? If you've never heard of the five love languages by, I think it's Gary Smalley, man, take a moment and do that. If you all have never talked about it, there's online surveys you can do just so that you can see it. Know what that is. Because if your wife's love language is encouraging words and touch, bringing her a big present, is going to be nice. She'll appreciate it. But she's not going to experience the love in a way that she's wired to receive. Guys, we need to step out of ourselves and pay attention and know who our wives are and love them in a way that they are able to receive. Wives, when it comes to respecting and submitting to your husbands, right? You've got a role to play. When things come up, it doesn't mean you just be quiet, right? You're meant to be the helper as well. So you should be able to say, look, this is what I think about what's going on. We just do that respectfully, right? Express your thoughts. Husbands, if you're good leaders, God's given you a counselor to help you make wise decisions. Husbands being good leaders, we listen to what it is our wives are telling us and we take it into account. And then wives, when the husband finally makes a decision, as best you can, follow what it is his leadership is. Figure out the direction he's trying to go and do your best to be there. So there's this idea of different roles and relationships in the marriage. And we don't all get it perfect, but we've got some ideas of what our goals and roles are. I want to build some boundaries, though. There's guardrails we need to stay inside. Sometimes when husbands start thinking about, well, the wives are supposed to submit and do whatever it is I say, at some point that can become abuse. Abuse is not okay. Right. Side note, these verses, the part that talks about husbands is meant for husbands. The part that talks about wives is meant for wives. It is communication from God to a husband. It is communication from God to wives. Husbands, we don't have permission to whip this verse out and demand our wives do what we want. That's not okay. That's between them and God. You want them to follow your leadership? Take a moment, take a step back and go, am I leading well? I mean, if your wife was married to Jesus, odds are she would follow his leadership. So how much more like Jesus can we lead? And our wives will be able to come along. Over here on the other side, not wanting to be an abusive relationship, the other side is not being neglectful, right? We need to be doing these things, but we can't not do them. Back to, I'm going to pick on husbands for a moment. When it comes to loving our wives, just saying, love you, thanks, that's not good enough. We need to be intentional, carving time, making sure they know they're special. What is the thing that you can do that makes them special? Neglecting what your role is not okay either. Wives, don't fall into the trap of whatever, and then going off and doing whatever it is you thought was the right thing too. We want to do our best to be following our husband's leadership. We're supposed to be doing it as fitting in the Lord. These are commands from God. So when we're neglecting them, we're not following God's will. That's sin. So we want to, as best we can, be intentional about doing these things in our marriage relationships. I want to move on to children and parents for a moment. Children, it says, children, you need to obey your parents. I put the word in the bullet that if you're living in the household, you need to do what the parents say. Most of the, I'm looking, all our teens aren't here. Somehow they might be all down the stairs. Jenny's hiding over there. Okay. Jenny, this is meant for you. And the rest of them are downstairs playing with kids. If you're living in the household, you need to do what your mom and dad are asking you to do. There is a passage in Genesis, back to the whole husband and wife thing, and talking about Adam and Eve getting together, where God says, there's a time when the man will leave his mom and dad and and be united with his wife, and they will go and be one. So the Bible describes there's a moment in our life, in season, where this obedience, this level of obedience, doesn't apply, and it's not appropriate anymore, because I need to be part of my marriage, my own household. So I just kind of use the reference that when you leave the household, that's probably where you don't need to be obedient to your mom and dad. But if you're living there, man, you just need to do that. If you were to come to Dan, people come to Dan and go, man, I'm struggling with this people I'm living with. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's other roommates, and they're doing this, blah, blah, blah. This is from Dan, not the Lord. But I'm just going to share with you some principles to think about. I asked the question, who's paying the mortgage? Who's paying the rent? If they're paying the mortgage, their castle. Their castle, their rules. If you don't like the rules, then you need to work towards doing that. If you're living in a household, if you're a teenager and you're like, there's this natural angst. I'm trying to be an independent person. I'm trying to discover who I am. And I want to grow, but my mom and dad keep saying, blah, 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 blah. That's a natural feeling. That's what teens feel. Embrace that. Embrace that. Admit it. And use it as emotional energy to do well in school. Set yourself a dream. I want to be able to do things my way, so I'm going to do well in school. When I get out of high school, I'm going to go to college or a trade school, and I'm going to get either knowledge or skills so that I can get a decent job. When I get a decent job, I'm going to save some money so that I can get a house of my own, and I can pay my own mortgage, and I can do it my way. That's... Two things about that, right? When you get there, you'll say to yourself, oh, that's why mom and dad were doing it that way. There's a learning journey that goes along with, well, that was a lot of really hard work and stress. Now I understand where mom and dad, I learned a lot. I understand where mom and dad's coming from. But that is emotional energy to get you there while you're in the place you're at now. You just need to listen to what your mom and dad say and do what it is that they're asking you to do. Then this passage also goes on and says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Man, fathers and mothers, how we lead defines is directly proportional to how well our children can follow. Right? If we lead badly, yeah, the children aren't going to be able to listen. So we need to be able to take, as parents, we need to be able to take a step back and go, how is my leadership in the home? Husbands have the bigger role, but moms are leading their children as well. So what's my leadership look like? So I want you to think about, right? We're leading. We're not stagnant, we're leading, which means we're moving somewhere. Specifically with your kids, you're wanting to move them and grow them and empower them so that they grow up to be the people that God always meant for them to be. If you want some categories to think about, think about how you're growing and empowering, enriching your children physically. How are you doing that intellectually? How are you doing that emotionally? And how are you doing that spiritually? Right? The four buckets that make up who we are. How is my parenting and how am I doing in equipping my kids in being in the areas of physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual? Now the challenge gets harder. Because to lead well in those areas, it means we need to be doing well in those areas, right? Good leadership means we're modeling it. So as you think about your kids in the areas of physical, intellectual, emotional, spiritual, you need to pull back and go, how am I doing? Because if I'm not doing well in some areas, if I'm not learning and growing and finding ways to expand my mind and learn more, Well, there's no way I can yell at my kids to do their homework, is there? I don't have any credibility. So we all need to be making sure we're moving forward in those four areas as well. How are we caring for ourselves physically? What are we modeling for our kids? Are we learning and growing? Is there something we're engaged in so that we're learning new things intellectually? How are we doing with emotional processing? Are we even transparent with our emotions before our kids? And how are we doing growing spiritually? I'm going to take a moment and talk about emotional for a moment. A couple of weeks ago, we did a sermon on conflict resolution. And I just want to paint a picture of how conflict resolution and how we do that in our home impacts our kids. What are our kids seeing? Are they seeing a conflict resolution where whoever throws the most things or yells the loudest wins the argument? Y'all got very quiet. Some of us maybe grew up in homes like that. Are we modeling that kind of conflict resolution for our kids? Because you know what's going to happen? What they see is what they're going to do. So be mindful about how you do conflict resolution. That's on this side, right? We don't want an abusive environment. Yelling and throwing stuff isn't healthy conflict resolution. If you're like, oh my gosh, Dan, I don't know what forward looks like. Ask Grant about how do I get to those podcasts again, and he will point you to the right direction to be able to find the podcast on conflict resolution that was just a couple of weeks ago. The other side of that is we don't do any conflict resolution in front of our kids at all. I have met parents who are proud. We never argue in front of our kids. How does that help? If you never argue in front of your kids, 30 years from now, they're going to be sitting in a counseling room talking to a counselor about why they can't maintain relationships. Because they never learned how to deal with conflict in a healthy way. That's one example of what modeling, how modeling can impact our kids. We've got physical, intellectual, emotional, spiritual buckets. How are we doing? Being mindful. What am I modeling to the little folk who are around me? God, is, in several places in His Word, talks about family, marriage relationships, parental relationships, child relationships. Family is uber important to God. I want to take a moment and just put some priority to this. We're going to step into a passage in 1 Timothy 3. The context of this verse is Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. Paul is Timothy's mentor. Timothy's being trained up to be a pastor. And so Paul is giving him some guidelines of how to equip the pastors. What value should you be looking at? And in the context of that, Paul is starting to list things about their households. And so in some parentheses, Paul just takes a moment and tells Timothy why he's listing those things. Paul in the letter says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? I want us to let that sink in. Bless you. We sometimes run into the habit of getting excited about things going on at church. We get excited maybe about things going on and the things we're, other things we're volunteering in, maybe about work, and we get so invested in those things that we neglect our family. Paul is pointing out to Timothy that no matter what's going on anywhere, family has to be number one. After that's work, church, or church work, depending on how you feel led by God. But through Paul, God's making it clear, family has to be number one. There's a guy named Andy Stanley who leads this mega church down in Alabama. He wrote a book. It's just a tiny little book. The title of the book is called Choosing to Cheat. It is an excellent book. I wish I had been a Christian and read that earlier in my life. I have dropped the ball in this area of doing work or getting invested in church stuff and neglecting. I don't even have kids, but Millie gets neglected when I do those things, and that's not okay. But in this book, Choosing to Cheat, Stanley recognizes that, you know what? There are people at work that if they want all of your time, if they can get it. They want it. They just got stuff they need to do, and they want all of your time. Church, there are pastors at church who are always begging people to help. Yeah, I'm a pastor. I get to say that, right? And sometimes people get invested, and the people get excited about what they're doing, and the people at church want you there to serve as well. And then your family wants your time. The reality is you are not going to be able to make everybody happy. You are not going to be able to give all of those three people all of you that they want. You are going to have to consciously choose to cheat somebody. You can cheat work. You can cheat church. You can't cheat your family. I want you to let that rest for a moment. As we think about that, that might feel heavy. As we've been talking about this, you might be saying, oh my gosh, I don't know. Man, I'm just bringing up all these memories of my growing up. Great, Dan, now I need a therapy session. Ugh. You might be saying, oh my gosh, like there's like two, three things he said in this, and I'm not doing those very well at home. What am I going to do? You might be feeling some hurt, some anxiety, some stress from that. The opportunity for us as followers of Christ is we've got God on our side. God wants to come along and walk with us and help. He wants to come alongside of us and help us heal. He wants us to come alongside us and strengthen us. He wants to come alongside and guide us. And being a good leader like he is modeling that by inviting us to be part of his family. John 1 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God cares for us like we're his own family. All that I've been saying about how important that is to God and all the things about that, God's adopted us as his own. Hoorah! That Jesus came on this earth 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, sacrificed, allowed himself to be sacrificed on a cross to pay the price for our sins. So that when we put our faith and trust in him, we receive that forgiveness. We get a restored relationship with God in heaven. Cooler yet, when he rose from the dead 3 days later, he promised us that same resurrection. If you've never come to terms about that kind of family relationship with God, man, let me encourage you to take that step today. To be able to say, you know what? However it is I'm doing it, it's not working out. I think I need God's help. In Dan's view of the universe, I don't think you can do this well without God's help. If you've never done that before today, man, please come talk to me after the service, or you can come talk to Grant, and we'd love to talk about the next steps. So I'm going to give away the secret. Bless Jenny, the teen who's up here. What's today, 11? Next Sunday, Jenny is going to get up in the water and be baptized. Because she has made that decision, I don't want to do this by myself. I want to walk with God. I want him to walk with me so that I can be the kind of Jenny he made me to be. Praise God. If you've never done that before today, let's make that today. I want to take a moment and celebrate what it is that God's done for us. He's made us and asked us to be part of His family. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are adopted as His children. And nothing we can do can change that. One of the ways that Jesus invited us to be able to celebrate and remember those kinds of things is through communion, the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to invite the band up. And I have a few people who are going to help hand out the materials. We have just a little cup of juice. We have a little cracker, matzo cracker. It's gluten-free. So this is an opportunity for us to celebrate and honor, commemorate what it is that Jesus has done so that we can be part of that family. As you've been in this sermon today, maybe you are feeling some weight of your past. Maybe you are feeling, man, maybe there are some things I can tweak at my home. Let's take a moment, and while we're going to be doing a song while they're passing out materials, just open your heart up to God and be prayerful. Maybe as you're reflecting today, you realize there's some things I've been doing very wrong. Before we take communion, take the time during this song to invite God in and ask for His forgiveness. He is ready to forgive. All He's waiting for is for us to be transparent and honest and confess what it is that we need to Him, need to do that. So as we're doing the song, just quietly to yourself, take a moment and pray to God and invite Him to prepare you for celebrating this communion. If you need to confess something, you can. Ask for His guidance in what forward best looks like for you. All right, while we do the song, my greeter team will help pass out stuff. In the letter of 1 Corinthians, as Paul's writing to the church in Corinth in chapter 11, he shares with us some history about the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." If you would please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, thank You for adopting us into Your family. Thank You for what it is that Jesus did on the cross to make that even possible. Lord, help us lean into Your family, how You love us, how You lead us, guide us, empower us, and Your desire, Your heart's desire for us to be who You can be. God, I pray that we would have that kind of heart for the people that we meet. Lord, more importantly, as You've emphasized for us today, that we have that kind of heart for the people in our households. God, for those of us who didn't experience that when we were growing up, God, I pray that You would just send Your healing spirit. Maybe You'll heal us today. Maybe You'll just nudge us and whisper to us about what our next best step is. God, I lift up all the hearts that are here today. All the hearts that are appreciative of being part of Your family. And I pray that You would help us be the kind of family members You are calling us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.